Well, hello and welcome to this week's episode of SBC Podcast. We have with us today Lisa Ryan, CSP, keynote speaker, engagement and retention expert, along with other expertise related to HR. And Lisa will talk to us about these key areas of HR. As we know, there are many not so engaged people and the cost is staggering, among many other things that Lisa addresses. So with that, hello, Lisa, and welcome.
Hi, it is really great to be here with you.
It's a pleasure. So can you tell us a little bit about like how you approach all of this? Obviously, it's a big key issue when it comes to HR and how you approach it and how you manage the change and improvement in this area when you work with people and with clients or when you speak to them.
Sure. I work with organizations and I really focus on manufacturing, but I speak to and I work with all kinds of organizations to help them keep their top talent from becoming someone else's. Now, back in the day when I first started my business, it was all about employee engagement. That was an important, you know, happy employees are productive employees, blah, blah, blah. But it's actually really gone more towards retention. Because if you're not keeping your best employees, you're going to be in for a world of hurt. So it's looking for ways to not only engage, but making sure that your employees have the tools, the resources that they need to do their job, but also that they feel that they're making a difference, that you appreciate their efforts, that they're contributing to a mission that is greater than them. And when you can create that type of culture, that's what keeps your people from leaving. It's not just about making them happy. It's looking at the whole picture and not only as the employee, as a worker, but the employee as a whole person. How can you help that person to be better tomorrow than they are today, not only from the production that they bring to your company, but also as a person, really focusing on that professional and personal development as well?
No, that's great stuff, Lisa. So obviously, it's very key to get an understanding, one, self-awareness, and also awareness of the people you work with and the employees you work with. Is there a preferred approach that you have for like mining some of these things or a starting point of how, say, an entrepreneur or a manager or a leader can approach these things?
Well, it's really important, and you might need to get out a paper and pencil because I have three very important words for you. Ready?
Sure.
Say thank you. Say thank you. Really?
Yeah.
Well, say thank you, and then the other three words are and mean it. You know, because it's like so many times what managers do is they focus on what went wrong, how somebody screwed up, how they missed a production deadline, how they missed, you know, something, because they feel in their head, well, we want to keep everything on schedule. We got to get this done. We're making money, blah, 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 blah. But when it gets to the point of business is running smoothly, well, why should I acknowledge that? I mean, that's what they're supposed to do. Because if you want your business to continue to run smoothly, you catch your employees in the act of doing things well and being specific instead of just saying, hey, great job, to say, you know what, I really appreciate the fact when you were on the phone with Mrs. Smith and she was really upset and you calmed her down. You know, you have such a nice way with people and I really appreciate the extra effort that you gave. Because now that employee knows, number one, that you're paying attention to them and they know specifically what it is that they do well, instead of you just coming up with another, hey, thanks, great job. You know, that being specific is what turns it into, you know, a check mark to something that really creates connection with that employee.
Yeah, I definitely agree with positive reinforcement, catching them doing something good and being specific. And then on the other side of the coin, how do you approach like when there's someone that needs addressing, how do you address them constructively, obviously without destroying their self-esteem or turning it unproductive?
Well, you know, that's such a good question because it's difficult. There's a certain number of employees that you can help. You know, for whatever reason, they, you know, something's going on in their life that they're not bringing their best self to work. And you can have that conversation and just say, you know, usually you are just on it. You know, you get your work done. Is there something that's going on? Is there something that I can help you with? so that you can find out from the human aspect of what's going on with that employee. And when that employee realizes that, hey, this person really does care, you know, I'm going through a difficult time right now, but my manager cares. Now, as an employee, this person has the opportunity to say, okay, and they can turn things around. On the other hand, though, if you have that toxic, horrible employee that sucks the life of out of the room when they walk in, your choice is to get rid of them. Because when you think about it, you know, when that toxic, horrible person starts causing people to leave, who leaves? Do your best employees leave or do your worst employees leave? It's your best employees. So unless you address that toxic person and either find a way to get them to buy in and to change their behavior, you're going to have to move them out. And I know that that's really scary because that person may be extraordinarily talented at their job. They may have a huge client base. They may be bringing in business. But if for whatever reason they're not a fit for their culture, in the long term, they are costing you much more money than they will ever bring in. So it's a difficult situation, and nobody likes to fire anybody because you're not only firing that employee, but you could be literally taking food out of the mouths of their children. We realize that. But when you look at the basic of your culture and what you want to accomplish over the long term, you really have to make that decision. And what happens is that the rest of the people figure it out. They're like, now we can work. They also realize that you as a manager are paying attention to bad behavior and not just letting that person get away with whatever it is they're getting away with.
Yeah, I totally agree. When, as the adage goes, when bad people stay, good people go. So most definitely it falls on the leader to kind of do that and to address those situations. And it can be done humanely as possible. It doesn't always have to be the meanest thing. But you also mentioned culture, which is another key thing. And it's always one of these things that people speak about, but it can be so vague and it can be so pie in the sky. And a lot of people don't even know where to start or where to approach that culture, whether to get to identify their own culture or how to match what kind of people would fit in that culture. Do you have any advice or any tips as it relates to that overall culture?
Well, the one thing that comes to mind is that really, and this might sound a little woo-woo or soft, but you know, you can really feel culture. I mean, anybody that is listening to this podcast right now knows exactly what I'm talking about. You can walk into a business and you can tell if employees like working there or if they don't like working there. So there's two ways to go about it. And if you're not quite sure, chances are good that it's probably not the best culture on the planet. But you can start with asking your employees and asking the hard questions. What do you like about working here? What resources do you need? What would cause you to leave? What can we do differently around here? You can also ask your customers questions. You know, how do you feel when you come in here? And the thing is that when you are asking these difficult questions, it is not affirmation of, oh, I'm doing such a good job. You really want to know. And the only, number one, being the master of the poker face, no matter what that employee says to you, your only response, you have two responses, is thank you and thank you for sharing. Other than that, that's not, you're not going to fight with the person. You're not going to say that it's wrong or argue with them in any way. Even if they say the most inane thing that you have ever heard in your life, if you look at it, there's probably a little morsel of truth that you can get out of your own way, get out of your own ego and say, okay, maybe that employee was just having a bad day, but what in it that that person said can I learn from? What did I need to hear that maybe in the past I wasn't willing to hear? And take a hard look at your company. And a lot of managers are afraid to ask their employees, well, you know, what do you need? What don't you like? What do we need to change here? Because they think that the employees are going to say, well, you can give me another $50 an hour and let me take 3 weeks off. And the thing is that that's not what they want. That when managers take the time to listen to their employees and find out, in so many times, it costs so little time. It takes so little money. And then the employees feel valued because they feel that you're listening to them. Now, at the beginning, again, if this is new, they're going to test you. But when they find that, wow, management's actually listening. Wow, they actually implemented one of my suggestions, and you create a safe environment for them to do so. That's how you change culture.
Yeah, that is awesome. I totally agree. And I think even like with listening, it's easier said than done. And I'm glad you mentioned that. It's something we all have to learn, because it's hard to sit there and listen and be patient when sometimes you may hear things that may not seem reasonable to you. And then also, like I've learned from also from just exit interviews, we've over the years, I've learned a lot by just, you know, just taking the data, trying to be as neutral as possible, because of course, when people are out the door, they don't have anything to lose. So most of the times they can give you good feedback. And then you, when you tabulate it, you can start seeing some patterns. But I do would like you to kind of, because I know there are people who may be listening to this and then saying, why do I have to sit there and listen, even if I don't agree? And even though, like, I mean, I have some ideas on why that is. But I would like you to kind of go into that a little bit more, if you don't mind.
Yeah. Well, you know, and exit interviews are something that everybody knows about. But really, what's the point in an exit interview? That person is going out the door. Okay, they're done. What I propose to my clients is the stay interview. And the stay interview is sitting down and having that conversation. And again, coming from a place where you know it's valuable to you and you're ready to listen, but asking things like, again, what keeps you here? What do you like about your job? What would cause you to leave? What can we do better? You know, whatever works for your particular environment, that's what makes the difference. I was talking to one of my friends who does some consulting the other day, and she had the most amazing that I never really thought about. They actually do peer hiring. That's what she works with companies to do. And that it's not the managers even bringing on people. It's the employees who are chosen to take new employees through the whole interview process. And it's their decision. What a magical way to get employees who you know is going to do the work, you know, who you know is going to be a good fit for the culture. I mean, that's the type of things that we want to do. It's like looking at our businesses differently. And the stay interview is certainly different from the exit interview, because the exit interview, it's already done. There's nothing you can do to help that employee. Where with the stay interview, they say, well, you know, what would cause you to leave? And that employee says, well, you know, I really wanted to take some computer classes. I really love IT. If a company offered me a position in IT, I would leave and go there. Well, now you know, and now you have the opportunity. Is there an opportunity within our company that we can offer this employee who's a great employee? We love them. We love their energy and we want to keep them, that we can say, you know what? We can make that happen. And now you have kept that valuable employee simply because you've asked the question. Getting back to the beginning of your question, if a manager is saying, why do I need to listen to my employees? Number one, you shouldn't be a manager. And number two, you probably shouldn't have people working for you.
Well, I know it's also one of the things I've learned over the years is if you don't like just shut up and listen, you will close the door to more feedback coming your way. Because people need to be comfortable expressing themselves and actually giving you the feedback. Yeah, some of it may be like, you know, really not be on point or however. But the minute you start arguing with the feedback, then it shuts it down. You don't get any more. You don't get any more data.
Right.
But I totally agree with what you said. And I've heard someone say before, and I love that stay interview. I heard someone before say, like, we throw parties for people when they leave, but we don't throw parties for them when they start. And that's something like to what you're saying there, to stay interviews. And we both know the cost of, like, you know, the turnover.
Exactly.
And it's really, it's staggering how much, you know, it costs. Obviously, we got to do everything we can to keep ones we like. I mean, the right people for us, because not everybody's the right person.
Yeah.
And, also, like you had mentioned, a leader is a coach or a manager is a coach. Can you elaborate a little bit more on that? As I know, like going back to that point you made earlier, people are looking for those types of relationship. They're looking for someone who looks at them as an individual with goals, with aspirations, with their own motivations, because everybody is motivated by different things. Everybody has different goals and things like that. And obviously it has to be win-win situations. So what are your thoughts on that? And if any ideas?
Well, sure. Well, I'm going to take it back to day one of a brand new employee, and actually before day one. You've just made that decision to bring that employee on with you. You know, sending them an email, maybe a video email. So excited to have you come on. Can't wait to meet you. Maybe there's other of their colleagues that are reaching out to them via video or beforehand. The first day that brand new employee walks in, you know, you talked about having a party when people leave. How about having a party for that person their first day on the job? Having a little get to know you, introducing them to the different departments, hooking them up with a lunch buddy, paying for lunch for them the first day, because we all know that when we've started jobs, whoever our first friend is, whoever we meet first, we have that first lunch with, that person's probably going to be our friend for the long term. Yeah. So, you know, putting together a company swag bag, you know, you have your logoed hats and t-shirts that you try to give to customers. Customers are like, okay, I mean, it's cool stuff, but isn't it your employees that value that, your new employees walking in because they're so proud that they got the job and they have this opportunity. Yeah. And then they connect with their manager. One of my clients I was recently talking about is a third generation foundry. And the person who's in charge, the chairman, you know, whose name is on the foundry, meets with every single brand new employee. So you're giving access to people. Not only does it create a better culture, but if you look at the two newest generations in the workplace, the millennials and Gen Z, they expect access. They expect to be able to go to their managers and share their opinions. They expect coaching, and they expect that type of relationship because they've had access to leadership their entire life, their parents. So it's from that coaching, it's finding out sometimes you can use different personality assessments. I mean, I'm certified in DISC. And from a communication standpoint, it just opens up the door for people who are wired differently from you, that you know how to communicate with them. And, you know, it's not do unto others as you would have done unto you. It's do unto others as they would have done unto them. So finding out what that employee needs, because like you said, everybody is motivated in a different way. And it's your job as manager to find out what that way is and to work with that employee specifically.
Yeah, absolutely key, Lisa. I totally agree. There's a lot of great nuggets in there, and we're coming up on time. But is there anything else you would like to share that hasn't come up? And also, how would people get a hold of you, follow you on social media, or however you would like them to kind of stay in touch?
Oh, sure. Yeah. You know what? The key is to making a commitment to do that one thing. Too many times managers will go to a seminar, or they'll take a class, and they'll come back to the office with 25 things that they want to implement right away. And then they're surprised when they don't work. Make a commitment to one thing that you'll do better. To connect with me, my website is lisaryanspeaks.com. There are tons of videos and other podcasts and lots of resources on my website. I'm also extremely active on social media, especially LinkedIn. So if you connect with me, there's lots of Lisa Ryans on LinkedIn. So just Lisa Ryan strategy, you know, and connect with me there. And you'll find all kinds of tips, videos, and articles and resources there. Just drop me a note that you heard me on the podcast so I know where you came from, and I'll accept your connection request.
Yeah, well, awesome. And then also, like what you shared there, we'll also list with the show notes when we publish this. And otherwise, it has been a pleasure, Lisa. I love the HR related conversations, because obviously that drives everything that any company do. And it's like, you know, the bigger the dream, the bigger the team, as someone said.
Yep.
So listeners, thanks for stopping by. This concludes today's episode of the SBC podcast. Be on the lookout for future ones. And this one will be published on iTunes and also on our blog at sbchecks.com once it is out there. Thank you and be safe.